Our first speaker is the Honourable Dr. Ann Ali, Minister of Early Childhood Education and Minister for Youth. In her late 20s, Dr. Ali was a single mother of two young boys, relying on minimal wage work and social services benefits to put food on the table. She went on to study her master's and PhD and worked as a professor, academic, and practitioner in counter-terrorism and countering violent extremism. In 2021, Dr. Ali was awarded the McKinnon Prize for Emerging Political Leader of the Year in recognition of her parliamentary work against both right-wing extremism and family and domestic violence. Please come to the stage.
Thank you so much, Indigo. I've got to say I'm incredibly impressed by your achievements thus far and felt very unaccomplished listening to all of that. I'll just get my notes together. Well, good morning, everyone. Can I please begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we gather today, the Whadjuk Noongar people, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging, acknowledge their continued connection to land, sea and community. I also extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here this morning. Thank you to Whadjuk Elder Robin Collard for your welcome. It was a lovely welcome, and they always are. There's always something spiritual about a welcome to country. I'd also like to thank His Excellency, the Honourable Chris Dawson, APM, Governor of WA, for hosting us here today, and his wife, Mrs. Dawson. Co-chairs of the APW22, Tony Petropiccolo AM and Kate O'Hara, and everyone else involved in organising this morning's event. Finally, I'd like to extend my sincerest thanks to any frontline workers and service providers who might be joining us here today. Like the Governor, I too have my training wheels on, and I hope that, like the Governor, mine are about to come off, but it is definitely an honour to be here today, to both speak to you, but more importantly, to hear from you and to hear from some of the other speakers in the audience here today. It's always a pleasure to meet with people, advocates, researchers and service providers who remain committed to tackling the scourge of poverty and disadvantage in our community, a blight so persistent in our community that many may wrongly dismiss it as being incurable. Like each of you, I know that this is not the case. And I thank you for reminding politicians and other decision and policy makers of this fact. And while I'll speak to some statistics today, I don't think any measure, any number, can truly reflect the impact of poverty in our nation. Parents skipping meals so that children can eat, foregoing medical treatment, couch surfing, sleeping rough, or returning to violent and abusive relationships. Statistics can hide the human face of poverty in Australia. At the age of 25, I found myself a single mother with a three-year-old and a one-year-old, escaping from the trauma of domestic violence and plunged into poverty, as many women who escape domestic violence are. I know what it's like to plan your meals around the leftovers of your children's meals, what it's like to go to the bank and find a minus sign next to your balance, what it's like to stay at home for weeks on end because you can't afford petrol or pub or transport fare where you've got $10 to last you to the end of the month, what it's like to put half the shopping back at the checkout. And let me tell you, the sting and the humiliation of poverty never leaves you. And though I've been able to lift myself and my family out of poverty, largely due to the great opportunities that I had through education, the great opportunities that were given to me through education, I can tell you that everything that I do in my current career is underpinned and fueled by those experiences as a young, 25-year-old single mother living below the poverty line. And I hope that I do the memory of that justice in my current role, and that I do justice for those who currently live below the poverty line. It seems fitting that Early Learning Matters Week, which is from the 17th to the 21st of October 22, crosses over with Anti-Poverty Week, which focuses on ending child poverty. Early childhood education and care creates a lifelong foundation for a child to thrive at school through their academic years and then later as an adult, potentially changing an individual's trajectory and even a family's life trajectory. I feel so privileged to have been appointed the Minister for Early Childhood Education and the Minister for Youth. And not just because I get to visit young children and hold babies, which I absolutely love, and I join them in play and exploration in early childhood education and care across the country, but it's also a privilege because I get to meet some of the many dedicated people working in the sector and see the real difference that their passion has on the lives of children and their families. Just last week, I was in Richmond, Victoria, announcing funding for a new intensive early childhood education and care trial model. The intent of this model is to ensure that the most vulnerable children and families aren't left behind, delivering targeted wraparound support to bridge the gap to school readiness. Up to 200 children under the age of 3 will benefit from a new intensive early childhood education and care trial model that's going to be rolled out across 4 locations, with the one in Richmond being the first. Now, we know that early childhood education and care is critical in supporting a child's development and in their future success. However, what we also know is that children experiencing family stress or social disadvantage can often be left behind, particularly in the early childhood education space. The intensive early childhood education and care model will support children to overcome disadvantage and trauma by offering a rigorously developed curriculum, infant mental health, and wraparound support for vulnerable children and their families. So it's not just about children getting early childhood education, it's about access to all of those other services, including allied health services, that are vital to a child's early development and that can help to change a child's trajectory. It's designed to lift school readiness and broader education and health outcomes while helping to further build the evidence base for best practice early learning programs in Australia. Ensuring that no child is left behind simply because of their circumstances they've been born into is a passion of focus and focus of mine in this portfolio. In fact, one of the things that I said to the Department of Education when I was first appointed as the Minister for Early Childhood Education and Care, when they asked me what my priorities were, I stated that my priorities were that no child born into disadvantage, whatever that disadvantage is, should have to carry that disadvantage through life. And through early childhood education and care, and through models such as this, where we offer wraparound services through the early childhood education program, we are able to do that. It's just one piece of the puzzle. It's just one measure to help improve disadvantage and lift children out of disadvantage, but it is an important measure. Access to quality early childhood education and care has been proven. It's been proven to mitigate the negative impacts of poverty. It's also a critical enabler of workforce participation, particularly for women who are often the primary caregivers in a household. And while we often speak about early childhood education and care in terms of the broader economic impact, I'm very keen to point out the impact on the individual and on the family can also be significant. Better access to secure, properly paid work is another vital level to lift families out of poverty. The Albanese Labor Government has already got to work immediately implementing significant reform agenda in relation to early childhood education and care. However, we know that there are still challenges ahead, particularly around equitable access, inclusion and quality, and they remain issues throughout the sector. My colleague, the Minister for Education, Jason Clare, introduced legislation in the last sitting period to deliver our government's commitment to make early childhood education and care more affordable. The government reforms will cut the cost of early childhood education and care for about 1.26 million families across the nation. We know that making early childhood education more affordable will help ease cost of living pressures on a lot of families and give parents the opportunity to work more if they so wish and earn more if they so wish. We know that a lot of Australians do want to work more, particularly women, but if they do, that a lot of that extra income is eaten up by early childhood education and care costs, meaning that it's not worth it. At the moment, 60% of mothers with young children work part-time hours. These changes will help ease the cost of living pressures, they'll improve women's economic security and ensure all families can access and make choices around workforce participation and early childhood education that work for them. But more importantly, these changes will also mean that children, our most vulnerable children, can have access to early childhood education and care and wraparound services so needed in those early years to ensure that they have better outcomes later in life. We also recognise that these changes are just the start and that more needs to be done, and in particular in relation to First Nations children. This is why I'm so pleased that we have made a commitment as a step towards closing the gap on development readiness to provide a base level of 36 subsidised hours per fortnight of childcare for First Nations children, regardless of their family's activity. Now, not only do these changes help ease the cost of living pressures, they provide even more opportunities for First Nation children to access the development, education and health benefits of early childhood education and care, and ensuring that they are ready for school. It's so important, as the Governor pointed out, that we all work together. And it's important that governments work together and in partnership with First Nations people if we are to close the gap, and particularly if we are to close the gap and improve outcomes in early childhood education. And that's why we've announced money to support the establishment of a new early childhood care and development policy partnership between Australia and state and territory governments in First Nations representatives. That partnership is a commitment under the Closing the Gap National Agreement and will develop joined up advice supporting First Nations children and families to thrive and to drive further progress against targets and develop new measures to shift outcomes. In addition to our broader early childhood education and care reforms, we're also investing in targeted initiatives to support First Nations children to access quality services. This includes continuing to expand our Connected Beginnings program from 31 to 50 sites nationally by 2025. Now, Connected Beginnings, you may not know about it, but that aims to support First Nations children to be school ready through the integration of early childhood education, health and family support services in each community, the kind of wraparound services that are needed to not just focus on a child's early childhood education, but also on all the other health and social variables that impact on a child's development. I want to just speak a little bit about family and domestic violence, because we know that many women who are escaping family and domestic violence are doing so knowing that they are plunging themselves and their children into a life of inevitable poverty. And it's one of the reasons many women, as I did, go back and stay in abusive, unhealthy and violent relationships because of that fear of living in poverty and having to raise your children in poverty. and wanting to do the best that you can to protect your children from that scourge of poverty and all the mental health, social and well-being impacts that it has. Many young women experiencing violence face that choice, whether to stay in a relationship or leave that relationship and face financial hardship and homelessness. Many years ago, in fact close to 30 years ago, I wrote a report called No Place to Go, which documented the experiences of women living with domestic and family violence and why they chose or had no option but to choose to stay because they had nowhere else to go. It documented women who had left family violence and had for some time couch surfed among family with family and friends, but that of course is not a long-term sustainable option for them. And many of them found themselves in poverty and financial stress. And the impact that that had on their children is immeasurable, not just in their early years, not just when the children were young, when they've lived with family and domestic violence, but later in life with the trauma that they carry through their lives. And one of the other things that I've tasked my department with is to look at children of family and domestic violence and the trauma that they carry through their lives and what more can be done to support children, both in their early years and later in life. In conclusion, I just want to thank you very much for gathering here today, for your time here today, and particularly for the work that each and every one of you does every day. Every day. My husband was a police officer and has many fond memories of working with the Governor, with you, Governor. And he too speaks of what he saw as a frontline worker in the police department. So I do want to also acknowledge frontline workers and the work that they do when they attend to family and domestic violence, when they witness firsthand the impacts of poverty and homelessness on women, on children, on our most vulnerable members of our community. While there's no silver bullet to deal with an issue as complex and as huge and overwhelming, it seems, as child poverty, I know that a committed government with a dedicated minister is an essential element of that. And I hope that in me you see someone who can work alongside you as we tackle this scourge together. Thank you.